Sarah, thank you for reading that twice for us. Do keep your Bibles open, and as I move a few things around, you might just want to open up your service sheets where you'll find an outline of where we're going in the next bit of our time together. Well, let me lead us in a prayer as we come to look at God's word together. Father, we pray, as we have just done for those who were confirmed last Sunday, for ourselves, that we might know what it would mean for these verses to be true of us, that we might know what that would look like in practice. And that as you speak to us through your word, that we would be encouraged to keep going in the Christian faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I've slightly given away in my prayer this morning, we're thinking about how it is that you keep going. How it is that you keep going. It's a question, isn't it, that you could ask of a lot of things, perhaps a stressful period at work or a long-term illness, or even the ever lengthening Christmas season. Maybe you're feeling that already as we come into the start of December. Well, you could ask, how can you keep going, of lots of things, but our focus here this morning is Paul's focus in these verses from Colossians. The question of how you keep going as a Christian. A few weeks ago, the Times newspaper reported that the number of regular Sunday worshippers in the UK had gone down to such an extent that it was less than a tenth of those who regularly watch Countryfile. Sounds a bit depressing, doesn't it? But Graham Tomlin, our bishop, who was here last Sunday evening for our confirmation service, he responded like this on Twitter. Can you see that? Being a Christian is a bit more demanding than watching Countryfile. I think it's fair to say that he's got a point there. Someone in commenting on his tweet said that it was somewhat more exciting too. But I shan't say any more about that, lest I offend any Countryfile watchers who are here this morning. He's quite right, isn't he? The Christian life, it can be a demanding one. It can be as hard as it is exciting. And so it can be something that's difficult to keep going in. And every now and again, if you're anything like me, you'll have been tempted to step back a bit, maybe even throw in the towel for an easier life and become a Countryfile fan or whatever it may be for you. How is it that we keep going as Christians? Perhaps if you're a weary Christian, that might be you here this morning. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, and that excitement that you felt at the start has started to dull, and the Christian life just feels like hard work at the moment. Or maybe you're a new Christian, you have something of that excitement, but you're coming to realize some of the demands of the Christian life, and you're wondering whether it's worth it, whether it's worth carrying on. Or maybe you're a Christian and you hear the arguments of the new atheists, people like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, and you feel rattled by those arguments. And you think, well, is it reasonable, is it intellectually credible to keep going? There are all sorts of reasons we can find it hard. For the Colossians, the original recipients of this letter from the Apostle Paul, their issue was most like the last one that I just mentioned. If you look just before our reading to verse 4, they were in danger of being deceived by fine-sounding arguments. Or just after our reading in verse 8, they were in danger of being taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies. And it's into that that the Apostle Paul speaks. He's wanting to help them to keep going as Christians, to not be taken off track by these distractions. And as he comes to what really is the heart of the letter of Colossians, how is he going to encourage them to keep going? If you've been with us over the past few months as we've been working our way through this book, we've had hints, you'll know, as to what Paul's strategy is going to be. So right at the start, he started the letter by thanking God for the Colossians' faith in Christ. And then he prayed for them that they would know how to live as citizens of Christ's kingdom. And then in the middle of chapter 1, we came to those wonderful verses that spoke of how Jesus Christ is supreme. He's supreme over all creation as its creator. And he's supreme over the church, that new creation that he's also brought about. Then at the end of chapter 1 and beginning of chapter 2, Paul speaks of his labours for the church, how he strives and he strains for the church. And he does that, he tells us, because he wants to present those in the church as fully mature in Christ. In Christ, who is the hope of glory, he says. And so as we come to these verses that Sarah read for us a moment ago, that tell us of how we are to keep going as Christians, what Paul is about to say probably won't surprise us. Let me read those verses again and see if you can pick up what his big idea is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Did you hear it? It's all about Christ Jesus, all about him. To adapt Mastermind's phrase, I've started, so I'll finish. The Christian life is really one of as you've started, so you'll finish. As Paul says in verse 6, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, just as you start in the Christian life, well, so you go on. The way to keep going in the Christian life is to continue to live your life in him. As you've started, so you'll finish. But what does that look like? What does that look like in practice on the ground? Well, verse 7 unpacks verse 6 for us. It tells us more of that. The whole verse, it works together to help us understand, but we're going to think about it one step at a time. And as you can see, it starts by being rooted in Christ, by going down deep in him, drawing from him. A year or so ago, I bought a patio rose for Catherine to go in our garden. But rather than arriving as a beautiful rose in bloom, it looked somewhat like a twig, which wasn't quite what I was going for. I've got a picture of what it actually looked like. It was a bit more than a twig. It looked like this, which still isn't that much to get excited about. The horticulturalists among us will probably recognize that picture of a bare root rose. It's a bare root rose. And as I've learned, roses become dormant over the winter. And so rather than shipping them in a big heavy pot of soil, which would be a pain and expensive, they send them in little plastic carrier bags just like that. Much cheaper, much more convenient to ship. I got the rose like that in a plastic bag, and I'm just about enough of a gardener to know that while that's a convenient way of posting it, there's no way the rose would last very long if I left it like that. Just as it had started life as a little shoot in some soil, so it would have to be planted, re-rooted in some more soil to keep going. And it's just the same for the Christian. To keep going, you need to be rooted, not in some mud like a plant, but in Christ, so that just like the rose in the soil, you're nourished and you're secure. But what does that mean? We know what it is for a plant to be rooted in the ground. What does it mean for a Christian to be rooted in Christ? holding the whole of verse 7 together helps us in this. And the clue comes a little bit later in the verse when Paul says the Colossians are to be strengthened in the faith as they were taught. The faith that the Colossians were taught is the faith of the Bible. The faith that the Bible points us to, that teaches us of Jesus. And so one puts down roots into Christ as you spend time in the Bible, as you get to know him better through it. Whether that's spending time reading the Bible on your own, or whether it's spending time reading the Bible with other Christians, maybe just a couple of you, maybe in a group like our home groups, or when you come to church on a Sunday and we hear sermons together and we chat about them together. As we do all those things, spending more and more time in the Bible, we're rooted in Christ. We go down deeper in him. We're more and more nourished, more and more secure. You keep going in the Christian life by being rooted in Christ. And of course, being rooted in anything else doesn't work. If I'd have thought, I know what will keep this rose really secure, keep it nice and upright, I'll root it in some concrete, I'd have been really disappointed if it died and shriveled and didn't carry on living. That would have been a bad move. And yet we can have that temptation in the Christian life. It can be tempting as Christians to put down roots in something else. We can think that it's something other than Christ that will provide us with security and nourishment. So maybe we think that our security will be found in having money or in our family or in our work. We're liable to slip into those faulty ways of thinking. Or maybe we think we'll be nourished as we're educated or as we get out and see and experience all that the world has to offer. Well, Paul wants us to guard against thinking that way, falling into that trap, by telling us that the only way to keep going as a Christian is to be rooted in Christ. And if you're rooted in Christ, if you've gone down deep, Paul says you'll be built up in him. That's the next part of verse 7. You keep going in the Christian life by being built up in Christ. You see, as you put down roots in Jesus through spending time in the Bible, spending time with other Christians, you get to know Jesus more, and your confidence in him, it grows. And as your confidence in him grows, your faith in him increases. And you're more and more and more certain of the hope that you have for the future. In other words, you're built up in him. Now, Paul's metaphor, it shifts, doesn't it, from the garden to the building site, but we're going to remain in the garden just to help us think a bit more about this. I don't know if you noticed this plant down here on your way in. That is not a poor start on our Christmas decorations for later. That is Catherine's rose that I repotted. It's been rooted in that soil for about a year or so ago, and it's grown. It's been built up as it's drawn nourishment, and it's been secure in that soil. And if you'd have come to the vicarage over the summer, you'll have seen it just by our front door, covered in beautiful flowers. It's been built up as it's been rooted down. And again, it's just the same for the Christian who's rooted in Christ. As you're nourished by your roots in him, as you're secure in him, so you'll grow. You'll be built up, you'll flourish. Now, you won't bear flowers, as the rose does, but you will bear fruit. The fruit that Paul speaks about or spoke about back in chapter 1 of faith and hope and love. Paul tells us that you keep going in the Christian life by being rooted in him, by being rooted in Christ, and then built up in him. And as it happened, as you're rooted down and you're built up, you're strengthened inwardly. Strengthened, as Paul says in verse 7, in the faith. I wonder if you've ever met a Christian and you've gone away from talking with them thinking, I wish I had their faith. I wish I was such as strong a Christian as they are. How do they get like that? How do they get to be so sure of Christ? Well, here's how. Their faith will have been strengthened as their roots have gone down into Christ and they've been built up in him. It's through that connection that they have to Jesus, the one at the center of the Christian faith, as they've been connected to him, they've been more and more persuaded that what they believe is true. And they've seen how it makes sense of the rest of their lives. They've joined the dots, as it were, and that's enabled them to trust him all the more. And they're just like the Colossians who have been strengthened in the faith as they were taught, strengthened in that Jesus-centered faith of the Bible. As you started, so you'll finish. In the Christian life, you see, you never move beyond Christianity 101. You never move beyond trusting Jesus. It's not like those cults or sects where there's always a bit more secret knowledge to glean, always a bit more to gain, or like the Freemasons where there's always another degree, another step to climb up the ladder. Now, the way you keep going in the Christian life is being strengthened in that faith that you started in. Which is really good for us to know, isn't it? It keeps us quite apart from having that ugly desire to know more than others, to know things that others don't know. It stops us from being distracted. Here's another temptation that can come upon the Christian. You see, the Christian can think about the Christian way of looking at the world, and it can hear what the world outside us has to say. And as it experiences the clashes between those two things, it can be tempting to be strengthened in something that's a bit more culturally credible. Even our culture, with its Christian heritage, has moved so far away from wanting to embrace Christian values. Actually, it has disdain for many of them. And so it can be tempting to go with the flow of the Christian, to take the sharp edges off the Christian faith, such that you get a less hard time for the things that you believe, whether that's at the school gate or around the dinner table or at the water cooler, wherever it may be. It can be tempting to soften things, to be a bit more culturally credible. But Paul says that won't keep you going in the Christian life, because the way that you keep going is by being strengthened in the faith as you were taught, the faith that the Bible points us to. Well, you keep going in the Christian life by being rooted down in Christ, by being built up in him, by being strengthened inwardly in the faith. And the final thing in verse 7 is this. You keep going as you overflow with thankfulness. That's sort of an outward movement. The Christian should be thankful for all the things that God has done for them. That's true is something that comes up again and again in the book of Colossians. And the reason for that is Paul is convinced that it is one of the main weapons that Christians have against being distracted, against being taken away from the faith. And here Paul says, we're to be overflowing with thankfulness. It's not a hard thing to understand, is it? Overflowing. We can understand what it means to overflow. We just fill something up too much, and without trying to fill it on our Bibles, it just overflows. It's not a conceptually difficult thing for us to get our heads around. And yet I think it's something that we find really hard to put into practice. Far from overflowing. More often than not, we have a really small measure of thankfulness. And we have a small measure of thankfulness because we think of all that God has given us as the equivalent of being given a pair of socks at Christmas time, a thoroughly underwhelming gift. And if we have a little thanks, if we experience Jesus as a little gift, it's because our roots haven't gone down deep, as verse 7 started. But if those roots do go down deep, if we're built up in him, if we're strengthened in the faith, if we've got a big view of Jesus, in other words, then we'll be those who overflow with thankfulness. And it's something that will just happen automatically. It's not something that you can force. It's not something that you can fake. No, it's just the natural result of being rooted in Christ, being built up in him, being strengthened in the faith. So you may know that Jesus died on the cross for you. But that might be where it stops. It's something that's true. It's something that you're thankful for. But it's something where the roots of your Christian life haven't really gone down that deeply. And so while you're thankful for Jesus dying for you, you don't overflow. That's not your natural, that's not where you get to. But you might, if you have deep roots, think a bit more like this. You know, of course, that Jesus died on the cross for you. You don't move beyond Christianity 101. But those deep roots also help you to realize that Jesus didn't have to die for you. There's nothing compellingly lovely about who you are. Rather, he chose to die for you. And in doing that, he didn't just come in off the street to do it. He gave up the riches of heaven, all the glories of living in a perfect place, to come to our messed up world. And that as he died, he didn't just suffer physically, but he suffered spiritually as well. The agony of being crucified, your deep roots will tell you, is nothing compared to the agony he had of being cut off from his Father. It's nothing compared to what it must have been for the perfect, sinless Son of God to come to earth and to take on himself our sin. That perfect, spotless one came to be filthied, as it were, by all our wrong doings. And then those deep roots, they help us to comprehend all it is that Jesus' death achieves for us, all that it means for us, that it means our forgiveness from sin. It means a cleansing of our hearts. It means a restoration, a reconciliation with God as our Heavenly Father. It means a redemption, being bought from our slavery to sin, a freedom that we now have, that we're no longer under bondage to sin. It means that we can have a hope for the future. It means we can have life eternally, yes, but also here and now, how we were meant to have it. It shows us that we're loved by God and so much more. And when your roots go down deep and they build you up and you're strengthened inwardly, it's only natural that you overflow with thankfulness. The Colossians were up against it. Who knows? Maybe some of us here this morning are wondering how it is that we're going to keep going in the Christian life. Well, here's Paul's answer to help us with that. It's a case of as you started, so you'll finish. You keep going in the Christian life by continuing to live in Christ, by being rooted down in him, by being built up in him, by being strengthened inwardly in the faith, and by overflowing with thankfulness. That's how you keep going. But there may be those here this morning who are yet to get started. If you're here this morning and you're looking into the Christian things, you're very welcome with us. And what I'd love to say to you is the way that the Christians will finish the Christian life is the way that you could start it. It's all about what you make of Jesus, all about what you think of him, whether he's someone you want to be intimately connected to. You see, you may have all sorts of questions about the Christian faith, which is, of course, very right and proper. It's good to understand what it is that you're subscribing to. But please don't put the cart before the horse. Don't neglect to make your mind up on Jesus. Don't try and jump past Christianity 101. Because Paul tells us that it all starts by receiving him. Let's take a moment to reflect on these two verses from Colossians, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the simplicity of the Christian life. Thank you that it starts and it goes on and it finishes with faith in Christ. Father, please would you help us to know what it would mean, what it would look like for us to be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as we have been taught, and for us to overflow with thankfulness. Please, would you teach us this this week, we pray, and help us to live by it and use it to keep us going. And we ask this in the name of the one we're rooted in, Jesus Christ. Amen.